battle rappers, granny nap stab happens. UncS chat channel, snot nose and damp napkins. Blow it, blew you away, sit and spec a bit. Observe as I serve friendly flashbangs for the fuck of it. I'm a freak with the fever for the flavor of a fight on a mouse. Speak geek and tweet speakers at grandmother's house. A weak squeak turn tough, try and watch your mouth. Oh shit, quick, here she comes and I'm out.
Ralphie, you woke grandma up. Don't make me come in there and beat you with a bicycle chain.
Grandma, no, I was in there, winning souls. I was in Counter-Strike winning souls, like you said. Don't beat me with the bicycle chain again.
Hello, and welcome to the Games for Windows podcast. This is Jeff Green's Aunt Frances. Jeff couldn't be here today because he's out sick. He has a sniffles. My Jeffrey has a sniffle, so I'm here for him, and I'm so happy to be here. I am. I love this podcast, not just because it's my nephew. I just love it. I love the way you boys are all so, you're just so natural. You're so yourselves.
Aunt Finny, sing us a song,
thanks,
an intro Andy. Song.
What, you want me to sing? I'm not going to sing. Oh, Sean, you're such a kidder. Jeff said you were a kidder, and here you are kidding with me already.
Sing that shit, Aunt Finny.
Oh, gosh. I'm getting the vapors here. So tell me.
Is she from the deep south?
Yeah, I kind of mix my cliches there.
Hi.
I can't do that anymore.
You're done with
we're all here.
Flashes.
I'm done with that. That joke's over. Hi, everyone. It's GFW Radio Podcast for June 5th, 2007. And I'm here with all my friends, which are as follows.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Elliott.
And Sean Malloy.
And we should say if we're extra goofy today, it's because there are fumes in the air here on the fifth floor of the Ziff Davis building. I don't know what was going on here.
Tragic magic.
Some kind of painting, varnishing, I don't know, lacquering or something going on.
Huffing.
Yeah. So might be a drug-induced podcast. Anyway, run with the show. Do we have anything to talk about today? We have a lot to talk about.
You just answered yourself.
It's rather routine now.
Well, we always go through a very elaborate email thread where we batter ideas back and forth. You know, it's usually we end up with like 2 pages of topics that we have to whittle down to just 3 or 4 before we.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Make it settle. Yeah, paired and shit.
Yeah. Usually after like 3, we're just like, eh, well, okay, let's just go down there and see what happens.
We got some good stuff.
The magic.
We are going to.
We have two Games for Windows Live games to talk about, or are we just talking about one of them?
We've talked a couple
of yous played Shadowrun this weekend.
We've talked the hell out of both Shadowrun and Halo 2 Vista.
We have, so we don't want to beat this dead
horse. But the thing is
horse.
That now, like, we have like much more hands-on experience with the retail, the versions that are, you know, available in stores. So some of the commentaries changed a little bit, a few different things to say about it.
Yeah, we're not just going to come on here and say Microsoft sucks ass again.
But also, you know, World Conflict
we'll do it more creatively now.
Yeah.
World in Conflict
World
Beta.
World in Conflict
you got
Beta.
Resident Evil 4 for PC.
I've been playing Resident Evil 4 on the PC. What else do we got? Ryan, you got anything at all this week?
I got nothing.
He's always trying to force Ryan to talk.
I'm level 25 in City of Villains. Go me.
Go you.
Well, you did rebuild
go
a new
Go you right out of
weekend.
This room.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to take that?
Bang, zoom.
Okay, I guess I'll just go.
Whoa,
okay, I'm
Ryan.
Leaving.
No.
No.
Oh. Starting on the Harry Potter invisibility cloak.
Wow. Sean Elliott made a Harry Potter joke.
Wow. I only watch the movies.
Sure.
Right. That's a point of pride. So many people try to push that book on me.
I am not a muggle, I swear.
It's a good book. They're good books.
You've tried to push that book on me.
I've read them all.
Crispin Boyer from EGM.
Yeah. He reads them.
To push that.
See, he's got good taste, and he read them.
They're entertaining.
Well, not in literature. All he's ever reading and trying to push on me is like alternative history, where it's like, what if like an aircraft carrier did appear off the fucking coast of Britain in the First World War? Well, actually, that's bad because they did actually have aircraft carriers at that point in time. But whatever.
So he's trying to
off of the Mayan coast, you know.
Like. So he's trying to pawn off the Philip Roth books on you, basically.
Yeah, basically.
That was just one Philip Roth book. The Harry Potter books are good. But we're off topic.
They're,
we haven't even
already,
gotten
we're
on
already
topic.
Off topic. But then the other topic is we're going to take some time and look into the stuff that we're anticipating most.
Right. That's the big question posed to the staff, by the staff. What games are we looking forward to most in 2007-2008? Also, we're going to take an interlude with Geek Hierarchy Factoids.
Yeah.
At some point. So let's get right into it, shall we?
What are we starting with?
Why don't you guys talk about Shadowrun? Darren and Sean, you were both playing this weekend?
Yeah, we tried to play for a little bit. I enjoyed getting kicked off a lot of servers for deafening people. There were some
deafening
problems with sound. There were some sound card issues around it. And Sean started reporting. Like, he was sending me messages over... Was it over AIM or was it?
Yeah.
Or whatever. So
no, I was sending you text messages through.
That's right.
Games for Windows Live.
Right. So he's getting me messages over Live about how he's having problems with the sound card on his new computer. It's not because it has a Creative Labs card.
I finally got that new computer, and Vista and X-Fi card do not like one another.
I was finding the same exact thing this weekend when I was trying to play Shadowrun. It was like the first time to be chatting with people over Live, and.
The thing, Darren, is we were having this because what I got, this new computer, I took one home that was a test rig in the office. Darren got a new one. But we were never aware of it because on your end, you would never know. It's not until you interact with someone else.
Exactly.
So we'd have never gauged this. As soon as I got in TeamSpeak, everyone was like, "Yeah, turn that shit off!" And then I started playing, you know, and prior to that, I was playing Shadowrun, and everyone's like, "You need to turn that fucking shit off before we fuck you up." And everyone's like,
every single time.
Your teammates are like hitting me with the minigun and stuff. And they're like, "Dude, we got to fuck this cat up. We got to wreck this dude." And I was like, "What's going on?" Like, of course, I knew that I was playing Xbox people from you know, those lines rather than PC people. But I guess it was just sending out a horrible, you know, screaming and hissing to every other player. Basically, all audio that comes out of my headphones is projected back through to them. So if they're commenting, they're also hearing themselves through the echo chamber coming back.
It was this weird feedback loop because I had the same problem. And I actually – it was getting so bad, because I kept yelling about it. I said, fine. So I turned it off. It was still coming back. I physically yanked the mic out of my computer while I was playing. And
that won't do it. You have to shut off microphone and
maybe
yourself.
That was a feature on the PC box
control panel. That don't even though like we have to be careful. don't attribute that. That's nothing to do with Shadowrun. As far as I understand it, my troubleshooting, it's definitely whether you want to blame Vista or whether you want to most people online because I had to do a lot of like searching, you know. And help forms and stuff are blaming on Creative.
I won't get into the nuts and bolts. The short version is like Creative didn't have drivers up until like basically after Vista was released, and it was just kind of like playing a lot of catch up.
That are
there
still aren't good. Like I guess some people are saying that it might not be till July or August that they get them. Someone actually had something that they said was a leaked version, and there was like a CD image of it. So I got that and mounted it on an alcohol, and that gave me some features that I should have already had. Having the X-Fi card, but it didn't fix the problem. But that's a whole other, you know, can of worms.
So how was the game part?
When we weren't getting kicked.
Right off the bat, as I went into it, I was just amazed at how. I mean, I've said this before that it's basically a console game that just so happens to play on Vista. Emphasis on Vista because, of course, you know, as we talked about before here, that's the only way, the only OS that will play Shadowrun.
Indeed.
And we kind of ragged on that, you know, just to get that out of the way because. The game, it looks okay, but it's nowhere near as graphically intensive as to require Vista or DX10, right? It's obviously working on 360, which is DX9 based. You know, when you go in to join a game, you don't have the ability to browse servers or anything. You have a list of preferences that you can click, which range from
it's very raw
skill matching, and I generally want a game that has this many players, 18 or 16 players or so. Maybe I like these maps, and I can kind of hope for them. I can list them as – you know, it's like sending letters to Santa. Santa, I hope I get a game with no assholes, people that aren't too tough. You know, maybe we can play on one of my favorite maps. And you send that, and then you wait 5 to 10 minutes. And of course, those numbers seem extreme. They seem
5 to 10 minutes? Really?
It took me about 5 minutes once.
I went and started timing it again because people were calling bullshit on it, and I was like – maybe I am just exaggerating without being aware. And then the first time I timed it, I got night. If I had Fraps on that machine, I would have made a YouTube video and put it up there for the world with some commentary of
Can
what
you tell
I was
it,
doing
like, how long to wait for those exact
criteria.
No, it doesn't
to
tell
up,
you. It's just, you just see a loading screen.
The 10-minute wait is searching with no preferences whatsoever. Throw me whatever the fuck you got, and I'll play.
Like, yeah. Is that just because there were no games up?
There were games up. I think that it's just a matter of
360 players that have got it. Didn't run into so many.
They also have this, it's games. A true skill system. They kind of say that's a trademark name. So apparently, he's trying to do like play matching. I don't know what the deal is.
But there's not even that much of a disparity between anyone's skill level.
I know.
That's
exactly it. I mean, you should be able to just like fire up.
How
and
about
with
invites? Can you can you do a
all
game
that
invite?
Works well, and it works as you're accustomed to on live. You know. Mm-hmm. Now the problem for me is that you know when you play the game, you can't filter select servers and say you know exactly here's what I want to play. I can look there. Oh, it looks like they got a couple bots. It looks like so and so is in here. I'll go in here. Can't do that. You can't access your console, you know, with the tilde key or whatever to look at your frame rates and to do the usual type of manipulation that PC gamers are accustomed to. Mm-hmm. While you could argue that, oh, well, that's the whole point of Games for Windows and Initiative and stuff is to take away all that stuff. It's at least, I mean, you can give the easy option and the accessibility option for people who want that. But for the rest of us that don't think it's a burden, that think it's actually a great tool to be able to filter the way we want, to be able to have text chat in the game. Because both of our mics weren't working, we couldn't communicate.
Yeah.
Because we can't, hit T or whatever key we bind.
So there's no text chat.
There's no text chat at all. I was so hoping to just communicate with somebody, let them know. And the only option you have, if you can't get voice working, which we couldn't, is like I guess it's mapped to the Z, X, and C keys. Is like you know a status update for yourself. Like you know if you need a resing somewhere or like. Mm-hmm. You know, need backup at this location.
Need a medic.
Exactly.
It's things,
like, that's exactly it. It's like three shortcut
there's
keys.
There's no, my
it.
Mic ain't working yeah. button, is there?
I wish there
there should have fuck, the PC version's borked!
They need that soundbite.
Oh my god, I'm still going to hack it and put that in.
Now, the thing about what I've heard, we've seen, I mean, message board-wise, Shadowrun is the big topic this week. You know, it just mm-hmm. keeps appearing. And we're actually locking threads on it in our forums because we have an official... We have both an official thread for general discussion and a PC-specific, you know, troubleshooting and whatnot mm-hmm. thread, and that should cover it. But everyone is talking about it, and the reviews are going up. And everyone is quick to comment on the usual stuff, which it doesn't have enough maps, it doesn't have enough modes. But when I'm playing, at that point, when I first play the game, none of that stuff matters to me because if I'm mm-hmm. having fun, I'm like, well, that's fine. I'm trying to learn what maps there are and what mm-hmm, modes right. there are. I'm not worried. I'm not looking out that far into the future, and still I start having, like, a genuinely amazing time. And I'm like, damn, this is great, and I want to make sure there's, like, a big stack of this drug to last me for however mm-hmm. long. But the thing is it's not like people are calling it fun and intense, and, you know, hey, you know, I can't argue with them for whatever their level of enjoyment is. That's great. Mm-hmm. I wish I would enjoy it the same. But playing on the PC side, it's not very fun. It's definitely not intense. And some of the stuff has to do with just the nature of the game, you know, being ultimately, I think, designed for console, and they found a way to balance it with where there are people with keyboards and mice playing against people with controllers. And some of the stuff they've done to do that is really annoying. It's like, you know, when you mouse look too much, you get a handicap in the form of reduced accuracy. Mm-hmm. Your targeting crosshairs will expand out, and of course, you know, your mm-hmm. shot will fire somewhere at random within that, like, expanded circle.
That's if you use mouse look too much.
If you do a quick snap 180 because you know someone's coming behind you, the usual stuff. But all of a sudden,
but if you spent your whole, if you played PC shooters for any length of time, you're going to do that automatically.
You're going to do that just instinctively. Accuracy stuff. You get like reduced accuracy in general. Otherwise, you would just decimate people with headshots over and over in the game. That is a fundamental difference between the two. But what happens is when I'm playing it, I can't tell that I'm hurting someone. It looks like I'm hitting them, but I can't. Nothing's registering. It takes so much ammo to hurt anyone. The guns don't feel they kick. All in all, it just feels so squishy that I'm like, I don't feel the empowerment of, like, you know, when you hit someone in Gears of War, they're leaking blood, and they're like, and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm doing something. Even in Quake 3, you get the ding, mm-hmm. ding, 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 you know, when you're, like, hitting someone. You're like, okay, at least I know, like, I'm actually shooting bullets at this thing.
Yeah.
But I don't pick up any of that.
Even using the rifle, you figure it's going to have some sort of accuracy, or, like, you try to pull off a headshot, and you still can't, mm-hmm. like...
Well, even with the rifle, it's okay, but it gives you basically have to, like... click, pause, click, pause. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to get, even a burst is too much.
Right.
Your shots will deviate too much.
Actually, one thing I was curious about, I didn't get a chance to try this. Did you actually try playing with a gamepad on the PC version to see if that actually changed the accuracy?
I plugged that in and restarted it, but I could get it to work so I could select menus and stuff with it, but it wouldn't take control of the game.
You shouldn't be gimped, and right?
Exactly.
On the gamepad on the PC, right?
No, it should
then it would default
the
back
same,
to the
same
right
way.
That's what I mean. Like that's the only workaround I could think of, but still, it's kind of pathetic. You have to like switch over to a gamepad on your PC in order to like have a fair
this
fight.
This stuff is very, you know, I'm looking at it and it's like, okay, great. You play a game, you don't like it so much, big deal. You say that you don't like it, but here I was getting really upset. You know, I was like, why am I getting so angry at this? You know, it was like offensive to me, and it's like because of the position of the game, they say, okay, this is going to epitomize this brave new step into both cross-platform play, into things that we're going to be doing with Windows and your PC as a gaming platform. And you look at it, and it's supposed to be this, you know, this wedding of two worlds, of mm-hmm. PC and console, but they don't even meet us halfway in the middle. It's like a big big middle finger to us. It's like, hey, here's this brave new future. You're basically playing a fucking console game on your like $2,000 PC, and you can't even access the console or do any of the things that you want to do.
Right. The wedding should have actually let PC gamers play the way PC gamers play.
It was more like a shotgun
wedding.
Also,
the very fact that you mentioned that on 1UP there's two threads, one the gameplay thread and the other is the PC troubleshooting thread.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, great. Once again, great advertisement for PC gaming.
I find very few PC. I mean, some of it's going to be because of the inability of people to play that don't have Vista. But everyone was so excited because their cross-platform achievements say they revive a PC player a certain amount of times or something. It's like, you know, whatever, or you kill one. And everyone's like, oh, crap, there's someone on a computer in here. There's someone on a computer.
Let's go gang up on them.
It was like, where are they from? Like Antarctica or something? Are they talking about a computer?
Huh.
And like, dude, I thought this was supposed to be cross-platform. And everyone's like, oh, shit, who's doing that? And then they figured out that it was me with the mic problems at that time. And then they all like just started teaching.
Get out here, computer boy. Can they tell when you're playing if you are on a PC? Do you have like a glowing triangle?
There's actually a little marker next to your
okay, I missed that.
Your thing.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah,
cast leper. I knew that they were on Xbox because of they were talking through their mics, and it had that very distinctive.
It's like a yellow triangle.
No, if you go up on live, usually it'll have a little marker now. If like you're on a console, and I mean, if you're playing on a PC and someone else is on a console, there's a little like gamepad marker next to.
Is that when you or hit, some when kind you of, like, tab you know, out and look at scores, or is that just over their head when you're playing though?
Oh no, it's not. It's not like when you're playing in game, but if you like, check out the scores and things, okay. Like, you should be able to see it.
Why did they have to do that?
The other,
it's like the Sneetches and the Star-Bellied Sneetches.
Yeah.
Why do we have to be the Star-Bellied Sneetches?
I'm kind of glad that they put them out. Because if you're going to have achievements for it, you got to like.
Got to know who they are.
The other thing is, like, what about the ability to choose a server that's all of, like, that's PC pure or whatever.
True.
So you're, or that's, like, strictly mouse. Since we talked about, it's not necessarily it's controller, you know, like. And this is sad, too. The fact that you're, like, here I am with the mouse and keyboard worrying about, like, avoiding control, you know, it should be ducks in a fucking barrel. It should be, this is great. Like, let's find a bunch of controller servers mm-hmm. and go in there and just like annihilate them. But
did
then
you
it was
say
so
ducks in a barrel.
Yes.
Never mind.
Okay. That's also easy to shoot.
So
equally easy to shoot.
So the other thing that was annoying is when I was looking on their website, you know, their community manager, or whatever, is talking about the ways in which they balance the game, and he's just so excited to say that like. You know, yeah, the mouse players in our QA team we're finding aren't even, you know, they don't have that much of an advantage. But then he goes on to explain all the things I did that they've got, you know, accuracy handicaps and all these other things based on movement. And it's like, and he's still gloating. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? And then you post this publicly, like thinking that your potential PC audience is not going to look at that and
right.
say, oh, this is supposed to be a sales pitch?
Right. All right. Yep. I'm gimped.
Sweet.
And then it's such a, like, they so want to say that, like, oh, this is just this perfect ideal solution we have. And we found that, you know, while PC player, you know, people using a mouse do better at long range, the controller-based players have just this huge advantage up close because they're able to work the button combos faster. And this isn't a game about headshots. It's a game about, you know, combining tactical actions and stuff. But I'm like, even that, dude, have you ever watched people play any, I mean, even World of Warcraft, if you're in high level playing that with your hotkeys or basically any PC game where your fingers are working like 10 buttons at a time in combination and all this stuff, It's
yeah,
it's
I'd
no,
say less World of Warcraft than like a fast-paced RTS.
It's not necessarily more, but like I've got 5 buttons on my fucking mouse. Like if you right. wanted, instead of just having 3 slots for superpowers, I could have 5, and I could yeah. access them all with one hand. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, mm-hmm. so that stuff's just a bunch of nonsense, and it totally pissed me off.
Well, I
totally brought out like the whole like PC versus console in me that I try to avoid because I play both, but I was like, dude, this is just annoying, man.
Yeah, you're totally hitting on something there because I was thinking the same thing as I was trying to like remap the controls. I'm like, God damn it! I have this fucking mouse that I you know cost $70, mm-hmm. and I should be able to like.
But the setup is maximized for the 3 available shoulder and trigger buttons.
That's exactly
on an Xbox 360 controller.
So that's when you're basically saying, okay, screw it, I might as well just throw in a gamepad because
right. I'm just saying they didn't really try that hard to make it work on the PC.
No,
they kind of did, maybe not the minimum.
Right.
But they didn't go out of their way to say, let's make this a PC experience for the PC gamers.
They brought it down to the console level.
And as far as making it a multi.
Well, it's not even just down. It's just they're different, you know?
Right.
And you have to acknowledge those differences. And there's more to it than just like. Just
just like summing up like all the server browsing crap that we had to put up with this weekend and just the way it was laid out. I keep thinking back to. I know that they're trying to make this like the ultimate multiplayer game, but I can't help but think the original UT in 99, right, when that came out, that did everything so much better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're
paying for this with gold membership.
That's
you're
right.
paying for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that game had bots. That game had multiple modes that had, like, I mean, assault mode, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying,
Team Fortress, the same
yeah,
right. stuff.
Exactly.
Right, if you compare it to any basic multiplayer PC shooter,
the Team Fortress
why would a PC
interface,
player
Counter-Strike
want this
interface.
Game?
Exactly.
So, Half-Life Deathmatch interface are better than
the yeah. The only reason I can think of is to just play against like a friend you have who just has a 360. Like you really want to play something together. So
that'd be
it.
Yeah.
Here's you know what the part that really pisses me off. This game was in development for what 4 freaking years. This is what they came up with.
Well, I'm guessing it underwent some radical changes.
That's exactly
in
it. Remember,
in that time, so you're not looking at a cumulative 4 years of work, but
that's
like,
exactly
there was,
it.
Like, a reboot date some point in between.
Remember last week when I was kind of I had that crackpot theory about how it's going to be it must have been a single player game at some point. Mm-hmm. I actually talked to somebody recently who was actually going to work there, and they actually did have a full single player game that basically got ripped out.
Weird.
Hmm.
So did I tell you any other details about it?
Without incriminating them, I don't want to like say anything else, but that was in there at some point, and basically they just at one point.
But it's not incriminating though, because I mean they don't advertise.
Well, they don't advertise it, but it's pretty obvious the game feels like half of what it could have been.
Hmm. Again, I'm just taking my position on that because like even when I'm walking around the halls earlier, I went to over by EGM to get a Red Bull, and one of the Game Video's interns was talking to me about it, and. First thing that came up was, like, not enough maps and modes. And I'm like, again, if this was an amazing game, you can give me the maps and modes later. Like, you give me a rad enough game. Like, right now, I have way more fun playing the Halo 3 beta that's got 3 maps, you know?
Yeah. That's true. Like, that's very true.
And that's enough to know, like, this is cool. I want to keep playing. But I play that, and I don't even want to keep playing. So, like, I'm not even going to get to the point where I'm, like, wishing there was some single-player content.
All I know is...
I agree with you. Yeah, that's kind of a weird argument, yeah, that there needs to be more when it's like that.
Well, I'm not even saying more, but like the fact they had all this time and all they wound up with was, and I'm not even talking about levels. I'm not even talking about like the number of levels. I'm talking about the design of said levels, and the character, you know, and the races and the weapons and and stuff like that.
To be fair, a lot of people are posting that they love it. You know, they're evangelizing for it.
And all the power to them.
Yeah, exactly. So don't take I don't know. I would say take my word for it if you're a PC player and you're used to games like that are. You know, I mean, you're used to playing the assortment of multiplayer PC shooters that we all know and love. Then I would say maybe weight my words more heavily. But if you just, like, if you're thinking of 360 or whatever, hey, listen to these guys. They a lot of them seem to love it. And
well, this is a PC gaming podcast.
Yeah.
We're given the PC gaming perspective.
Right. And maybe there's people that love it on that, too. I just haven't run into them yet. You know?
I actually played both this weekend on the console and the PC. And I did find the console experience a little better, but still, because you have a certain set of expectations for a first-person shooter there.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, like, in that respect, yeah, it's kind of a success. But for anyone who's, you know, grown up on UT and stuff like that, this definitely doesn't feel like.
The melee is, like, jank to me, too.
Yeah.
That's, like, when you have a mouse, it's really senseless that you go into third person with that sword because I can turn fast enough to turn around and engage people.
And then your accuracy
is young. But the
thing
is, it's just this big, weird swing, and you get hit with it, or conversely, like the hit detection, you'll do damage to people, and you're looking at your screen, I'm like, I'm not physically even hitting that person.
I know, I was saying the same thing.
Chopping them down. And I don't know. I thought that was pretty, like, that was definitely one of my least favorite melee,
all I know is, as I kept getting achievement points, I kept hanging my head lower and lower. I'm like, dude, I don't want people to know.
So how many PC players did you run into while you were playing? Were you, like, alone in a crowd?
A couple. I ran into Scooter online in one game. But, you know, it's few and far between. And
I hope you ganked him good.
Oh, actually, that was one of the games I got kicked from in 5 seconds because I couldn't talk. I have no mic and I must scream.
I think I'm burned out on the Shadowrun impressions now. But yeah, okay. There they were.
Well, I can segue into an even worse port.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Please.
While we're complaining, Resident Evil 4 for the PC. I started playing it this weekend at home, and I was having all sorts of interesting problems with, so I came in here today to see if that was just me at home, and in fact, no, it's the game. The port does suck.
Right.
looks great.
Yeah, the graphics, though, were when I came in, they looked nice.
Yeah.
And you have to say that because the Euro version they released didn't look so hot, and then word is that the Wii version they just released doesn't look so hot. But the textures looked great, even at on the resolution of your monitor.
Yeah, the PC, the US version of this PC port, which just shipped and which I have, they did up the graphics. I guess it was the textures that they improved on, and it actually looks pretty sharp. And that's about all the good you can say about this port. The main one being no mouse support. Hi, welcome to 2007. Time for mouse support in a PC game.
And by no mouse support, you mean not even like in the menu?
I mean no mouse support, zero. Yeah, you can't even pick new game on the loading screen.
So how are you supposed to play the game just with keyboard only if you didn't have a gamepad?
You can't even configure your controller with a mouse, right?
Right.
You have to like
no, you can't do anything with the mouse. There is zero mouse support whatsoever. Right. Even though actually on the box it says requirements, mouse is on there. I don't know
for
what.
To click on the icon.
to click on the icon. Double click from Windows.
Double click on the install.
Yeah. So if you don't have a gamepad, you're stuck using the keyboard entirely.
Holy crap!
So to fire, you press shift to raise the weapon and then enter to shoot it. Is
then
among the other great
WASD to move
then
the
WASD
that sounds horrifying.
Yeah, is to move around.
While carpal tunnel doctors around the country are celebrating
that
as we speak.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's gimped beyond belief.
I mean, you would just assume that because when the PC version was here, like I was like, hey, that might be cool because you can use the mouse to shoot.
Exactly.
Anyone play?
Well, and that would be rad because that game
it would be rad.
It's not going to hurt it if you're getting those dudes right pinpoint where you want. That game will just become like all the more fun
for
it.
Totally.
You know, there's
right.
so many
which
enemies.
Is what
that's like
what I hear about the Wii version is
right. I mean, I played the GameCube. Right, it came out on GameCube first. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I played that when it came out, and I had trouble playing it. Because I wasn't used to that style of game, being more of a PC guy. And so I never finished it on the GameCube. And when I heard
sad.
They were porting it, I was kind of like, wow, cool. Now it'll finally be on a machine where with a control scheme that I'm used to.
Yeah,
but no. What, so
what about the real extent? What's the absolute extent of the lack of...
Oh, yeah. Thank you for prompting me. Yeah. There's no mouse support, which is a problem in and of itself. And I did play it after that with the 360 controller plugged into my PC, and that's fine. But then, of course, why not just play it on the console? But the other great problem is there is no way to quit this game. they forgot to put in a quit button.
It's evil.
Completely.
Right.
I mean, you can't quit.
Well, there's a way. Alt-tab.
Well, that's
close.
What you have to do. You have to alt-tab and go to Task Manager. You showed me. You could.
I had to show you
from
that.
From the tray.
Yeah,
you
because
could,
you're such a console
write,
gamer. You didn't know how to like,
yeah,
close
you could,
programs
you could,
from
you
the tray.
You could close it from the tray or do what I did and go to Task Manager. Either way, you shouldn't
that's
have
wrong.
To leave the game and go to Windows to quit your frickin' game.
Because the start button
you
won't bring
up. For it. That's nice.
They just did this. Straight up code transplant.
Are you positive though? Like. Do you have the equivalent of a select button bound or whatever?
I've got it. Yes, I do.
Okay.
If anybody wants to correct me on this, you know, find it. If it's from whether you're just a random person listening or if you're from Ubisoft, if there's a quit button, you show me because I spent the bulk of the day looking for it so that I wouldn't come on this podcast and say something inflammatory. I couldn't find it, and so even if it is there,
yeah,
I want to play that game again. So much time looking for it that like.
What about the hack?
So there is. So I did search online to see if I was smoking crack about the lack of mouse support, and I discovered that in fact, that there is no mouse support, but that some other annoyed PC gamers wrote a mouse hack that you can download. So I am going to download
try that
the hack.
If it works, because I really want to play that again.
Yeah, let me know. I'm dying to check it out too.
That's absurdness.
The second disc. I mean, I know there's not going to be that on this, but the second disc on the GameCube part was really awesome too. I mean, there's so much stuff you don't want to miss at the end.
Well, I know that the game has a great reputation. It won most Game of the Year awards that year, right? I mean,
it did.
I think it did from EGM.
Says so on the box
from
the
One Up
too.
Yep.
Controlling that with the WASD scheme must be worse than a console because it's totally digital. You don't even have the benefit of like slight analogness.
You can take that shit back to how I learned to use a mouse and keyboard, which was on the Dreamcast playing Quake. And I first bought the mouse, so I'd have the D-pad and analog stick of the controller in my left hand and the mouse in my right hand. And I'd use the two.
That's some savant shit right
now.
Wow.
And I went, and when I moved over to computer, I got a controller so I could do the same thing because I was like, God, I don't know how I'm going to do because I still hunt and peck type. At the time, I like was absolutely useless on it. And so I did that for a while until eventually I hit a game that wouldn't let me do that. And then that's when I like forced myself to get the left hand on the keyboard.
So what was the game that converted you?
I think it was Team Fortress that I...
Makes sense.
So I guess like you, what I'm saying is if you for some reason haven't played Resident Evil 4 yet on any of the platforms, let's see, it's on GameCube, PS2, and Wii now, right? And you're a PC gamer and are just wondering what the fuss was, however long ago that was, two years ago, I think?
Yeah. I think it was still hold up. I don't know.
Yeah,
play it on one of the consoles.
don't play this PC version.
I don't know, though, because if you got a controller and it looked better on your monitor than I've seen for Wii or GameCube or PS2.
Okay, if you have a gamepad.
If you've got a 360 controller, why not?
If you have a 360 controller, if you have, I guess, any decent gamepad controller, then maybe so.
But the question is, who is that person that hasn't played it yet?
Right.
Maybe there's quite a few. I don't know. But I would say I recommend it.
If all you have is a keyboard and mouse, don't bother, especially because that mouse, that isn't getting used. That mouse is going to be sitting there all lonely.
You know, I haven't seen it on your computer yet, but does it look markedly different from the other versions? Or
it looks pretty sharp, yeah.
I would check it out.
It does look good. Except that the cutscenes are like the old, you know, TV quality.
Yeah, so they're all checked out.
Also, what's with the way that guy looks? Can I just say, he's got this voice kind of like this. I'm going to kill some zombies. Then you look at the guy, and he's like this,
like a model?
Sissy looking. Yeah, he's got this, like, poofy hair, and he's sort of, like...
Game was made in Japan.
Girly lips. Just like, I don't know.
You got to be Super Metro.
Yeah, he didn't look
like the toughest guy, like, in a Japanese game would always be able to, like, go to, you know, to a gay club here and not stand out.
Uh-huh.
Or stand out as being attractive, you know.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like, I mean, there's not.
Hey, depends on which club you're going.
Ryan's
about,
all
dude.
Looking worried, like, "Uh oh, what's Sean? Trouble's Sean about to get himself?"
No, that's the
now.
Thing. I mean,
but no, like even like Devil May Cry, the guy Dante, you know, like if you're he's not heterosexual badass in the way that like the pizza face dudes on Gears of War are.
Right.
You're
he's
right.
Like he's like, all right.
He's
I
like David
go
Beckham
to the Rocks
Metro.
With this
right.
Dude,
this guy is very effeminate. You know,
I don't know. He's masculine, but he's like
barely.
He's like suave.
It's a different culture.
Yeah, he's suave.
He's very like, Final Fantasy.
Do you want Schwarzenegger? I mean,
he clips his toenails and he plucks the hair off of his toes.
Right, I don't need one of those pockmarked Gears of War guys with the barrel chest. But you know, well, maybe I do. I don't know. This is a whole other topic.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of bears?
Let's move on.
All right.
What else we got? Anything?
A little bit of World in Conflict, but if you want to hear me talk some more, Sean.
Sean Malloy?
Your answer.
Oh, yeah, that's what we want to hear. Yeah. No, we'll come back to World in Conflict.
No, I'll leave it.
I was playing some Halo 2 this afternoon. Not to go back to PC gaming. But, yeah, it sounds like my experience was at least a lot smoother than your Shadowrun one. Because when I went to a quick match, I like found one in like 3 seconds, and they were like,
"Cool!"
Said there were 42 games going online. That's pretty healthy for just PC.
Oh, so this is just PC players too.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no cross. There's no cross play with this one.
Well, at least it's good to see the live servers are up and running. When I was playing it, it was just like a freaking mess.
Yeah, and I played like 3 matches, so I'm not sure. Maybe I go back after this, and it'll be a big mess after. The only weird thing that was going on was. it took me a while to realize that these were people talking, but all I heard whenever I, because in that game when you get near someone, you can kind of hear, if mm-hmm. they're talking into their mic, you can hear them. So there's like the ambient sounds, but all I heard was.
actually, that's the guy was saying.
Yeah, everyone was saying. I was just. It took me
he
like
was talking in tongues to you.
Took me like 10 minutes to go. Is that people on their mics trying to talk? Huh. And that's all I heard. I didn't have a
you
mic.
Thought
so.
It was one of the like banshees, like in override mode, about to explode or something.
Was,
did you try
that
talking back? Creepy.
No, I didn't have a mic, and I don't know. If maybe actually, it wasn't. Maybe it was a strange sound effect. I don't know what it was.
Hey, Sean. Actually, there is a mic on that headset upstairs.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't see it.
This is a good time.
I don't like talking to
anyone. Ask to beg listeners, if you got Vista and XFi and you found some way or you have some solution to help me get my fucking TeamSpeak working. Right
actually,
in.
I will.
But the obvious thing would be to disable it and go to the
motherboard.
Realtek, but for some reason, it's not registering that there is onboard.
Well,
on
that
this.
Could. I was having a problem with that computer with that a while ago. I don't know why. I thought I fixed it, but obviously not. I will contact the guys at Creative and we'll get that thing licked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when you were playing, it was interesting, at least on one of those things, because I was, like, backseat playing and then begged to get on and actually I begged to play Halo 2 Vista.
You did?
Wow. But they had it set so that there were no overshields, and then you spawned with the battle rifle, which was interesting because that basically, movement speed aside, makes the game very PC-like, you know, where it was like, you know, because with overshields and everything, when you play Halo 2, unless someone has like an excellent combo, like a plasma pistol and a regular pistol or something where they can kill you really quickly, strip your shield and kill you, you have the chance to turn around and see who's shooting you. But this was crazy because it was like they could take you down so fast you wouldn't have the time to turn around and
see where it came from. Yeah, I would be going down in like a split second.
Which
and you don't,
like
and you don't get those
me.
Little like arrows that some games give you, like you're being shot from the left because there's a big red arrow on the left of the screen. This is just like whole screen flashes red and then you're dead. So
with
I think that
mode,
was just
it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I didn't particularly mind that. I was just fumbling to like map what I knew of the console game to the PC because like, okay, how does this work again? What am I doing? Well, how does this? Why are all these people doing uppercuts with their sword? I forgot how to do that.
Yeah. What about the spawn system that I was pointing out though?
Oh, there's that one map. What was
You're
that?
Witness
Can't
to that.
Remember.
Was
yeah.
That one, was that one of the new maps?
No,
this was
it was the
one
that you unlock in Halo 2 by beating the campaign.
I can't remember what it's called, but it was like these four little beige maps. Yeah, four little beige rooms that is not real descriptive with grates and
multiple people spawn at the same time.
Yeah, everyone spawns.
And
in
if
the
you
same
walk
room.
Through the door, you're fucked because you're gonna by if you you know by the time that you got halfway to the exit, someone will have spawned behind you and will be shooting you.
Yeah.
But then if you turn around and prepare to face them, and they will spawn, you could be fucked because someone could come in the door from behind you.
It was comedic.
It's like over and over again. I'd be like, and I'd tell
it's
them,
like
I'm
a
like,
Buster
hey,
and
watch this.
Or something.
I'm going to sit here and throw grenades over here because people are going to spawn
and
on
them. Sure enough, someone spawns in.
Nice.
Great. I mean, that's a classic problem
in
shooters. I mean, Fear multiplayer was so bad. When that was released, at the point when I reviewed it, it was just ridiculous into that I would just basically sit there on full auto shooting and letting the bodies pile up.
Like that goes all the way back to the first. I mean,
Quake One, the fucking spawn problems. Now.
Yeah, I don't know. Way back in Quake One, we would be sitting there with our shotguns aimed at the spawn point, waiting for guys to show up. Yeah. Hi, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Played a little of the, I think the first level of the campaign too, and it was really easy. I don't know if it gets harder. I played it on the Xbox, so maybe. Part of why
well,
it was easy.
Oh, you
knew it. I just die once.
You're just that damn good.
Well, I think it's just like
it's easy at the beginning too. I mean,
it's easy at the beginning.
Xbox.
I think like with the mouse and keyboard, you just have no problem hitting these big Muppety things. It's just like, oh, here's some
but
more.
But they do still have like just the enormous crosshairs.
Yes,
like for the submachine guns and crap. Like they're still just giant quarter-sized things on there.
Yeah, they are.
Like
so you have kind of like your zone of shooting rather than your pixel of shooting. So that's probably another part of why it's. Seems so easy. I don't know. It was level one, so I can't really. But my
no, but it has the same huge hitbox.
We got a post on our blog forum. There's that picture. Have any of you guys seen it? Like where someone did the diagram of Shadowrun from the console player's point of view and Shadowrun from the PC player's point of view. And there's a console player with like a cone of fire coming out of his gun, immediately like spreading out so that it's probably about 10 feet high by the time it's like 5 feet away from him. And then he's like got someone. He's got a PC player standing in there, and he's like screaming like headshot, headshot, you know, like all this shit. I don't know. Sorry, I just thought of that. It's a good diagram.
You should pop that up on the GFW Radio blog.
Yeah,
that was a funny picture.
Okay, yeah, we'll put it up there. Or will we?
Yeah, no, what's so you're saying how good you are.
I'm awesome.
Headshot. Boom.
No, I just it doesn't seem like they changed a whole lot of the campaign to compensate for the pinpoint accuracy of the mouse and keyboard. That's all I was saying.
Well, there's hard, like there's, I said, level there's one. Ridiculous difficulty mode.
Yeah, I haven't tried it on ridiculous yet.
Whatever, I don't know what they
legendary.
Call it.
Legendary.
Yeah, legendary. Yeah.
They don't
and
call
you played
it
on legendary? Oh, you haven't played it unless you played it on legendary.
Yeah.
Okay. You haven't played on legendary. Oh, yeah, I'm just. I'm
I played on legendary, yeah. With didn't get killed once. Yeah.
Working on legendary.
All right, where are we
that's
at?
That's it.
All right.
Anybody else? At? Ryan, we know you've bottled up in City of Villains.
I have.
How are we going to get you to pull off that invisibility cloak?
I don't know.
Let's talk City of Villains.
No, I've talked enough about City of Villains last 2 weeks. Nobody wants to hear about that.
You're right.
Yeah, good point.
Should we take one of them breaks?
Yeah, we'll take a...
Wait, man.
What?
Yeah, okay, World of Conflict. No one cares
about
that.
Oh, that's right. No, we
we're
care.
Too busy
we do,
ripping on the games that are born on consoles.
Okay,
that
you're
come
right.
To PC.
I'm just
we
will
talk
about
a PC-based game that's entirely unique.
You're right.
Yeah. It does look great.
A PC-only...
God damn it. Ryan, give me that fucking cloak.
No, we want to hear. So first, a PC-only RTS from Sierra.
Right.
Vivendi.
Where a few of us are on the... No, actually, they've got Sierra.
Refuse to call them
maybe
that.
We should,
you're an
we
angry
should
man,
even
Ryan.
Cut with the, a thinner slice called like an RTT or whatever, like real-time tactics.
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's no resources. I mean, you have basically an allotment of points that that tick down and say, you know, you can get more of them by having some of your units destroyed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a finite amount of points that you can spend or invest how you choose.
Who's the developer for this one?
Massive Entertainment.
It's
the guys who did Ground Control.
Where
are
they from?
Oh, that's right.
It's another Eastern European group, right?
Sweden,
I believe.
Sweden, okay. So it's no. The basic premise is like late 80s. But a Soviet invasion of North America, so fun Red Dawn stuff, you know. But you know, when you play, it's like 16 people online, and it works in the way that they kind of want. It's not a hybrid of an FPS and an RTS, like literally, but in some loose terms, it is, and that the games will keep going, and you can leave and join as it's going. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sit there and wait. You know how sometimes it's really hard to get a match, like you want to play an 8-player Company Heroes game. And you could be sitting there for, like, you know, 30 minutes or something while the right people come in and then look at your stats and then decide, nah, I don't want to play you and stuff. So you could just jump in. And there's basically you could play infantry, you know, I forget what it is, like an armor role that's basically tanks and stuff. Support, which would be artillery, anti-aircraft platforms and such, repair vehicles, or an air force. You basically specialize in those. You could still draw on units from the other pools if you want, but I'm thinking in the best scenarios, you have teams where people are taking on those different roles and then combining arms for tactics working together.
Wait a minute. Cool. So you're actually playing as a character?
No, you have a collection.
It's a role.
Okay. As a general. Say, for example, you're in charge of the Air Force or something, and you can create attack helicopters or, you know, heavy assault choppers and all this, you know, stuff like that, or scout helicopters that basically do the same of, you know, pierce the fog of war and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have a column of tanks going in, but you know that they might be vulnerable to, you know, artillery, you know, that's deeper back in the trees. So he's like, hey, send your scout up forward, find their artillery. I see it coming in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in there with my, you know, air-to-ground missiles and, you know, blast them. Then because I'm going to be vulnerable to AA, I'm going to want you to send a couple tanks forward, too, to fight the AA. And then you start mixing it up, like, the best combinations. Like, I think if you're not cooperating, it's kind of stilted in that you're like, okay, I'm a bunch of, you know, Cobras or something, and I run up against AA. That's bad for me. Or I run up against a bunch of tanks. It's great for me. I get to blast them all to hell. But if you're mixing your unit types up well with your team and saying, like, okay, we want to go capture this point. We want to go capture, like, City Hall or something. And we're going to, like, combine these units. And the infantry, you can garrison buildings and stuff. And it seems like they do some cool things. One concern along those lines is that because tanks and support vehicles can capture points, it seems to me to make the infantry less, like, valuable. I mean, I looked on the forums and people think it's balanced perfectly, but I was just I mean, just from playing it for a couple of days, guessing that, like, we're wondering what would happen if only infantry could cap. Because that way, everyone, if you're like, all right, I'm going to be Air Force, I don't have to just worry about going to get points for myself. I have to go and actually support my infantry, or they're going to get, like, destroyed. But so I haven't played enough to get too critical of it, but it's just a lot of, I mean.
And it's also multiplayer only right now.
Right. And your general experience when you go in a game always says so much. You know, you're playing it for an hour and you're like, am I thinking about how this is frustrating and sucks, or this is cool, I want to learn more? And it's like, it's just totally, so far I'm like, hey, this is cool. I haven't played anything like this, so I want to learn more. It looks great. I mean, you can zoom down to, like, FPS, like, scale, and everything still looks fantastic moving through the grass. The special effects, you know, you call in, like, an A-10, which is an air-to-ground attack
tank
plane,
killer.
You know, and it will just rip through with its Gatling gun, and it just looks so rad flying through, tearing, you know, knocking tanks over and stuff. You have nukes that you can use as support, which is crazy. Some spiteful asshole dropped, a tactical nuke just on. I had three, like, repair vehicles capping a point. And he was like, "Well, that's worth it. That's worth a nuke." But even with the system I got, which has got an 8800 GTS card, a whole lot of, you know, like the best dual core chip, right? You know,
well, it's got a decent, decent setup. It's not screaming, but it's
right.
good enough.
But it would chug at times, especially during, you know, heavy off map artillery barrages and the special stuff like nukes.
But it's a beta. So
but it's a beta, yeah.
Might not be optimized yet.
Yeah, that's you know, just talking about it makes me want, you know, hopefully next week I'll have a lot more detailed analysis of it, but even talking about it makes me want to go and play.
Actually, from what I'm hearing, it's supposed to be a DX10.
Yeah, I'd like to try to play it, too.
From what I'm hearing, like, on the Tech Dork side, they're thinking of turning that one into a DX10 game as well, so there's another game, actually, you know, to look forward to seeing what they can do with it. Maybe, will it push Vista? I don't know.
And that, I mean, that's cool. I mean, just playing it, it's like, this is definitely a piece of game, and it's just unique, you know? I mean,
well, those guys, had a great track record. Anything they do, I pretty much, like, I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, actually, if you go online, I think they still have, the first two games or the first game that they've ever made, Ground Control.
Ground Control.
You could probably, if you look online, too. You could probably find the games for free.
Really?
Well, there was a long period of time up on, I think it was File Planet, they offered the first game for free. So, I don't know if that deal's still going, but.
Those were good games.
If you look for them, it's out there.
Yeah, they were good.
Underrated or.
Definitely underrated. Well, we gave them good scores.
No, we gave them good scores. Underrated. Not the right word. They were just.
Overlooked.
Overlooked.
Yes.
There you go.
Little darlings.
I think that came at a time when RTSs were either. It was actually probably post-glut. You know, I think it was already. We'd already kind of burnt out on the genre, and those came around.
It was definitely winding down, that's for sure.
Okay, so
speaking of winding down, we're taking a break.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more GFW Radio after these words from our sponsors. Game on.
3, 2, 1.
You're the best around.
Listen to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the lake.
Sweep the lake, Johnny.
Sweep the lake.
Choose your battle stations. The 2007 Midnight Gaming Championship Tournament may be coming to a city near you. Check midnightgamingchampionship.com for details. Game on.
Game on.
Oh, yeah.
We're back.
Yeah.
So we've got a, in Sounds lieu of the Heroes of the Web, we've it's got husky. We've got a geek hierarchy that somebody printed out here.
Well, it's not.
We've talked a lot about geekdom here on this podcast of ours.
So we found the perfect thing, like basically.
This is old. This has been around.
So where is this from?
Yeah, it's been floating around for a while. This comes from brunching.com.
Oh, brunching shuttlecock.
Yeah, geekchartdig. gif. Brunching shuttlecocks. Yeah, so anyway, they've got this geek hierarchy. It's basically this chart of various like species of geek. So this is ideal for us. It's basically like everything that we've already and always talk about on this show. But, like, in a perfect chart form for
What's
us.
Weird
we'll put this up on our blog as well.
Yeah, we totally should. When I was looking this over, you know, because it looks like an org chart with boxes and lines. Like, Ryan is actually in most of those boxes.
He encompasses
multiple levels of
every box. I'm
in a lot of those.
I know. We were too.
I'm in a lot of them.
I'm in a lot
so
of them.
So am I. I'm
we're
just
all
in
one
Ryan
of these.
Yeah, we're all in multiple.
It'd be kind of funny if, like, it would be awesome, though, if each one of us fit down one path of nerddom.
No, we should check.
I'm not in any of those furry boxes.
We should do a contest among ourselves and then list, like, where we are for the listeners. Like, you know, like, we'll color, like, you know, Jeff boxes in blue and whatever. Brian's in yellow. So, okay, basically, how this works is at the top of the diagram are those who consider themselves less geeky than those that appear in the diagram below them. In cases where they appear parallel to one another, you have circumstances where maybe both of them insist that they're less geeky than the other and vice versa. And those are interesting little moments in the chart. So we don't have to read every column, but some of them are definitely like worth looking at.
What's at the very top?
The very top, we have you published science fiction, you're a published science fiction or fantasy author and or artist.
Okay, published being the key word, right?
Right, being the key word.
Okay.
And then below that, you could be a science fiction fan and fantasy literature fan.
Okay.
And those are just the two top. And then it branches out into eight various forms. And on the far column, we have people who majored in folklore and mythology. Like, pretty respectable. And then you can they'll condescend to Renfair folk, and then it says SCA folk. I don't know what SCA is.
Oh, Society of Creative Anachronisms.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, and both
don't look at me like I was in it. I just happen to know what
it
stands
for. Okay, well, you're in there. So both of those will condescend to people who buy expensive replicas of fictional fantasy swords.
Uh-oh. And then I've looked at them. I've never actually paid.
And then at the bottom, they all converge.
I've wielded
so
one.
Move over, and you'll have comic book fans, and these are parallel to people who, I don't know. Yeah, so a comic book fan is about the same as someone who majored in folklore and myth. And they're superior to a comic book fan who reads only superhero comics, which is funny because I was like actually last week like distinguishing that, I don't read, I read a lot of comics, but just not superhero comics.
Right.
So I'm busted. Below that is actually who I am, which is a comic book fan who reads superhero comics, but that just doesn't mean exclusively. And below that are comic book fans who only read superhero comics.
So they're geeky. To you, they're geeky.
And there are more levels than that, though.
So, again, the folklore major can condescend to me, and I can condescend to Ryan.
What's the bottom level comic one?
Below that are comic book fans who only read X-Men spinoffs.
I love that one.
So, so the superhero guys are looking down on those guys.
So
that jerk only
and that is true because look, Ryan, totally. I've condescended to you for only being into like superheroes, right?
Which I am,
and
not.
You've condescended to like, oh yeah, great, another X-Men book or something.
That dork only reads ecstatic.
I've heard you say that. Yeah.
Okay. So wait a minute. Go back in that list. The fantasy sword guys are like above the comic book guys.
No, these are all parallel.
They run parallel.
I'm going down.
Oh, okay, okay.
Be very helpful to follow along.
He's kind of reading across.
So basically,
okay, sorry.
You'll have to go to the website
because I was going to dispute that.
Yeah, but the people who buy expensive replicas are parallel to people who only read X-Men spinoffs, and both of those will condescend to one another, insisting that it's the other that's
okay. Right.
The other one is truly inferior.
Yeah. So then we have anime fans who insist on subtitles, and this chart places them parallel with anime fans who don't care about subtitles.
They're equal.
They're equal. Anime fans are pretty much like
below all. Both of these, you have anime fans who use the term Japanimation. And then this one's weird. Then below that, it's Pokemon fans over the age of 6.
Sorry. Where does hentai fall on that?
I found
that one hurts personally.
Me too.
Yeah.
So how far down the list is hentai?
So that's messed. Neither of you can clown on like the Japanimation guys.
No. Well, according to that list, see, I would argue.
You would make your own
person
list.
Who made this
I would put the anime guys below me as a Pokemon fan.
So moving over yet another column, we have video games. So we're pretty fine.
Obviously,
we're
up at the top. Okay.
Video gamers. Role playing gamers are below us.
Hey.
Live action role playing gamers are below them.
Okay.
13-year-old gamers of any set are below all of those.
Ouch.
So again, age is like the lowest, you know.
Wow, I don't know about that either.
I don't know. I wouldn't see it needs a little revision on that one.
Then
I mean, not to knock myself, but wouldn't you want to put like 40-plus gamers below like the under 13 gamers?
I know, right? Because that's like a natural thing to be 13, and clearly this is biased. This was written by a 40-plus person.
Yeah.
This is undisputed, by the way.
This is gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, the further you get to the top of that chart, the non-nerd style is the guy who authored it.
Right.
Okay, so
given that these are parallel columns here, mm-hmm. where do live action role players fit, like in the next to like the comic book?
Comic they book fans who only read superhero comic books.
That's about right.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Now, I agree with that.
Here's where it starts to get fun. Now we start to move into true freakdom. One more click over where we have amateur sci-fi and fantasy writers. Of course, those are below the published ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who stand above fanfic writers. Mm. Then.
I don't know where this is going.
They stand above erotic fanfic writers.
Oh, boy.
I knew where. Okay. Yeah.
However, erotic fanfic writers and fanfic writers who put themselves into their own stories both stand parallel, insisting that each is less nerdy than the next.
So we've got a diverging path here.
Yeah.
However,
I really need this chart in front of me in order to really appreciate
both
that.
Erotic fanfic writers and fanfic writers who put themselves in their own stories insist that they are superior to erotic fanfic writers who put themselves in their own stories.
So they're like having sex with Captain Kirk or something.
Right.
Like that kind of thing.
Okay, this is, yeah, ultimately they're the, if this is like the diagram of like Dante's Inferno or something, we've got farther down to go. And you'll get
so,
there.
So yeah. wait, which concentric circle
our
are we at?
Our descent is not complete. We're still moving through the concentric rings, you know.
yeah.
This one is great because I somehow, the fact also that we know about all this shit.
Well, that proves that we belong on the list.
Right. Okay. So yeah. Amateur sci-fi fantasy artists, this is opposed to writers.
Okay.
Okay.
Are superior to amateur sci-fi fantasy artists who can't get breasts right. And that's pretty common.
Yeah. Usually they're rather
However,
large.
However, yeah. the sci-fi artist who can't draw boobies mm-hmm. is superior to people who alter scans of sexy and/or porn models to make them look like superheroines.
Which we've covered on this very podcast.
Now, that is rad because, well, I don't know if we talked about it, but, like, I was sending the links around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we were told. Yeah, we all were.
That, what is that site?
Oh, God, I totally forgot.
Oh, where they had, like, hot superheroes.
Well, they basically porn stars with porn skin stars. Yeah. And sometimes they're in completely inappropriate poses because they're basically photoshopping their sex partners out of it.
But they've got on like a Green Lantern outfit or something.
And photoshopping, yeah, like a Catwoman suit on them. Mm-hmm. So you're like, why are her legs like that? You know? Why is she doing that? Like, who would stand there?
I don't remember the Flash doing that.
Yeah. So, but there's, like, that site's out there. And there's
in between seconds.
Tons of stuff like that on it. Okay, of course, science fiction television fans are their own breed at a top.
Uh-oh.
It's respectable enough. It's up there with video gamers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are better than Trekkies. That can be cool because you're
I'm
like, oh, I watch Battlestar Galactica.
Sure.
Yep.
I look down on Trekkies and I like Battlestar, so right, I'm with that one.
Okay.
There you go.
But Trekkies will condescend to Trekkies who speak Klingon. And Trekkies who speak Klingon stand above Trekkies who get married in Klingon garb.
Oh, boy. Oh. Yeah.
Now, all of these people are superior to furries.
You mean everybody we've mentioned
everybody so far.
All converge to furries.
All roads lead
everyone
to
furries. Everyone is superior.
That's awesome.
Now, the furry is not the bottom of the dunghill, because erotic furries are a step beneath a furry.
Okay. And we're going to be hearing from those people.
I can't wait to see those again.
The depths of depravity and geekdom.
Uh-huh.
At the very like rock bottom of the geek hierarchy.
Fat furries?
Are people who write erotic versions of Star Trek where all characters are furries, like Kirk is an ocelot or something, and they put a furry version of themselves as the star of the story.
Oh, man.
So basically, when we did our Sonic Passion, you know, Heroes of the Web, we basically, it wasn't Star Trek, but it was Sonic. It was basically the same thing. It was erotic furries. They put themselves into their own fiction. I mean, basically by saying you've married Knuckles, you basically put yourself in a fiction. Sorry.
That ain't fiction, Sean.
I know.
And we still piss people off.
So that's the geek hierarchy. And it was.
That was instructional.
We're better off for having looked at it and analyzed it.
This will be a very handy reference in the future.
That's like a field guide for E3.
Or this film. Office.
No, Comic-Con, I should say.
Or the one-up office.
Or whenever, in the one-up office, whenever there's an argument, you just, like,
break out the chart.
Check the hierarchy and see if you're subordinate, then shut the fuck up.
argument over.
Yeah. We could probably go through the office and place everybody there.
We're all on there.
Shane.
Oh, I'm on there.
Everybody's on
there. Totally.
What we don't know how to deal with, though, is when we're in multiple columns and we're in lower positions. Maybe it's like you are no better than your lowest position in the hierarchy.
Oh, God, I'm screwed then.
They don't have video game writers on there either.
Yeah.
We're probably pretty
good. Yeah, I'm sure you could create subsets. You'd have to, like,
we got to be above furry, so don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, like a half step.
According to that, almost anything is.
Of course, if we wrote in our furry outfits, that would be bad.
Right.
Then we'd be low. Not that we do that.
Speak for yourself.
On the weekends.
You. Okay, so here we're here to inform you. That was our little educational segment, kind of an NPR segment of GFW
exactly
Radio.
Yes.
Wow.
That was a
sort of like,
sound like
gigantic
collective sigh.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Okay, so we had a question of the day, which is a new feature we're going to forget to do next week. But we're doing it this week. And that says, what game are you most looking forward to playing in 2007?
Hey! AKA this week, we really didn't have the longest podcast preparation discussion.
And yet we're already going on like an hour and a half.
Well, see, there you go.
There's plenty to talk about today, like Jeff says.
Preparations for morons. Okay, so we were trying to come up with a list beforehand of games that we're going to say was the low-hanging fruit not to mention. Because if we run around the table and we all said StarCraft 2 or whatever, be like, yeah, great. Thanks for your expertise and insight. Yeah. So I'll start off.
Okay.
Because I actually have the most boring one. So we'll get me out of the way first. The game I'm most looking forward to playing coming up is actually the Age of Empires 3 expansion.
Shill.
I'm sorry to say. Yeah. Published by Microsoft. And actually, no, there's a reason for that. And it's a reason I didn't know until I started reading up on the game on other websites. that it's being developed by Big Huge Games. And I am currently the biggest Big Huge Games ho on planet Earth. So I'm proud to say. Because I've been... Catanning and Rise of Legending.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So on dual platforms, I am Big Huge Games ho, and so they have taken over the development reins for the next Age of Empires expansion, which is a pretty unusual move, I think, for this. What are you laughing at? You're not paying attention. You're like,
yeah, I was looking
out
at the Halo 2 Vista manual, and there's a vehicle called the Shadow, and it looks like the freaking pizza shooter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Clearly, my topic is too boring
too
for Sean. Yeah.
No, but it's
sorry. No, but I saw it. And
But it was actually it is kind of cool. Like,
okay, that is a pretty funny pick.
It is pretty cool. The Big Huge Games guys are doing it. I mean, like, you know, Brian Reynolds, you know, came from this team originally.
Right, right. I mean, it's just a weird thing that happened here. He originally was on Age of Empires 1.
Right.
And now.
And 2?
Gosh, I don't know.
I
may need to be corrected on that. Maybe he worked on 2. But I guess Ensemble is probably busy with Halo Wars. So they farmed this out to Big Huge Games, and they have promised lots of gameplay advancements, which sound good to me so far. And it's got an Asian theme, Age of Empires 3, and you know how much we all love Asia here in geekdom. So... maybe the characters will look like anime characters. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping the NPCs will all have those big bug eyes, and I'll look like they're 14 and have short skirts on.
You watch a lot of anime.
Or tell me you joined Shane Bettenhausen and Garnet on the otaku trek to Chikan Town.
What?
What's the nonsense words?
Chikan is like Japanese for pervert.
Oh.
And I talked a long time ago on the One Up Yours thing that about the, they have these trains there that they're mock trains and you go in and grope women.
That thing, yeah.
Yeah, and Chikan, of course, is also what you yell if you're being molested in public there. You hold up the defender's hand and scream Chikan.
Well, I don't really want to molest people in Asia. I just want to play the Age 3 expansion.
And there's your sound. And there's your soundbite for the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not, sounds good. Sounds cool.
I still have an unplayed copy of Age 3.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
It's a very good game.
I bought it and just never even tried it.
I'm a fan. And that's me.
That's
Ryan, what game are you most looking forward to playing coming up?
My game is Pirates of the Burning Sea. Which,
nice.
It's an MMO, by a new developer called Flying Lab Software. They either don't have a publisher yet or they're self-publishing. I'm not sure. And it looks like a pretty cool game. I mean, it's not your standard fantasy MMO. I'm kind of bored with those. And
well, subscribing to 10 at once will do that to you.
Right.
So pirate MMO players are sitting above fantasy MMO players.
Yeah, exactly.
They might be below.
It's a new category for them.
Well, there's actually like ship-to-ship combat on this and like sword play and stuff like that, right? So there's actually action in here?
Well, the way... Yeah, there's all that stuff. I played
it's
a little
be some
bit.
Good swordplay in that game.
Oh
I bet.
Yeah,
so
especially
you get
after
to,
hours.
So you get to
MMO, MMO swordplay.
So you get to create a pirate. That's your deal. Everybody's
you
a pirate.
You get to create a pirate of, I think French, Spanish, or British origin. I think.
Do you get a parrot?
I think that's one of the costume options. Yes.
Get a damn parrot.
It's the costume options. I played a little bit of it at a demo a few months back, and the costume options and just like the character creation in general looks like it's at least on par with City of Heroes, wow. if not more
eye patch.
Detailed.
How much range can you have?
Peg
with
leg.
Pirates?
How about a peg leg? Can I have a peg leg?
Peg legs and hooks and all that crap.
Yes.
Yeah, looks
there's
like.
Some place that this. I think Darren was about to say it.
What?
Say it.
No, go. You go.
No,
for
say
it.
What you were going to say.
No, go for it.
I was about to say that there's like some like fecal territory that this discussion is about to like head into. The moment someone says, "Can you be a ninja? Can you get a ninja costume?" So you weren't telling me you weren't going to say that. Darren.
No, actually, I was not going to say that.
Okay, nice. Yeah, we all win.
I was thinking of something else, but no.
All right, cool.
Anyway,
I just wanted to like I don't want anyone saying that.
Except you just did.
So wait, so it's only it. Pirates, right? There's not like, there's no other races.
There's no elves or
it's not
dwarves,
like pirates
no.
and Zerg. Yeah, so what do you do then? Everybody's a pirate.
Well, you can have, like I said, you can be of like French, British, or Spanish origin, whatever. I guess that stands in for like race in your typical MMO. Or you
which
can
ones are the magic wielders?
I don't know.
Probably the French.
Ryan is never going to get to explain this.
I'm sorry.
There's a fourth race that you can pick, which is just pirate.
Ghosts.
Which like is unaligned.
Oh, okay.
Which is just pirate? So French pirate, British pirate, Spanish pirate, and pirate.
Or pirate.
Straight up pirate.
If you don't know what any of those other countries are.
The Compton pirate.
Wintergreen.
Well, if you belong to one of the nations,
yeah.
Right, you don't have to be like some kind of evil ass
pirate.
So
you're a privateer.
Basically. I mean,
okay,
you're
privateer.
You're working for, you know, France.
Yourself.
Or
you're freelance.
Spain or whatever.
But I thought all pirates are like freelance.
Is it kind of like...
If I'm a French pirate, I'm not representing Napoleon.
Is it kind of like is it kind of like Sid Meier's Pirates but MMO is but more action based? Is that kind of?
I guess that might be a good way of describing it. Yeah.
All right.
Your character is more of the ship than the person, right? Though, because
is that right?
No.
Really?
He is not. You can own a ship. You can own several different ships.
But who's going to want to be the first mate on a ship as opposed to being the captain?
Well, isn't everybody the captain?
You know what? I don't think that. Other people. I don't think you have like a crew of real people.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, you can have like fleet. Everybody's got his own ship.
That'd be good because Darren raises a good point.
You want to be
one of the guys rowing. Like the galley slave. Fuck this game. I've been rowing for 8 hours.
Fuck this.
What kind of bullshit is this?
I'm the cabin boy? What the fuck?
That would be enough though. If they told you, if it was console and they told you you'd get an achievement for it, people would do it. and if it was PC and they told you you'd rank up for doing it, they would do it and love it.
You level grind by fucking
sorry,
8 more hours of rowing. Shit.
So Ryan, how is the
macro
boat
for that
mechanic stuff? Is that cool? Is that like its own, or is it just you just click on a direction and your boat goes?
The sailing, I mean, it looks manual to me. Everything like when you're sailing around your boat, there's this ring around your boat that it indicates like the wind direction and wind speed, and it's colored so that you know if you're sailing into like the red side of the ring, mm-hmm. you're sailing into the wind.
That's like in real life.
Right.
Yeah, when I've gone sailing in real
life,
that
colored ring
the colored
your boat.
Rings are on the, you know,
right.
the boats.
But this can be cool though. Like,
is it called life preservers?
You're like, okay, and you're trying to escape or something. You
that,
know,
the
and,
combat set up to be then it to take advantage of that
turns
stuff.
Into ship to ship combat and then
right.
a boarding scenario. It's,
that's cool. Mm-hmm.
That's
mostly,
a lot more fun than
yeah.
going through the cave. Look, you know,
I've got to say this is mostly ship to ship combat, right?
that seems where the PvP and all that stuff is.
So like, could you actually take over someone else's ship, say?
Could you do like boarding parties, stuff like that?
You can.
Oh,
like,
that's
and
cool.
What
that sounds
like,
fun.
The way the game's set up, there's three different, I think three different classes. You've got like whatever it is, like kind of the warrior class. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, like privateer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's a merchant class, which is just kind of the craftsman. Mm-hmm. And then there's a third one that's basically kind of like a rogue class. Mm-hmm. Like you can, you know, you get like stealth and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But the whole world is in like this kind of perpetual state of war, and there's all these different ports all over the map that players could get together and like take over. Mm-hmm. And even if you're just like a merchant or whatever, if you're like shipping goods to a port or like smuggling away from a port, you're like helping to take over that port. So everybody's got their like little roles to play. So even if you don't like getting into combat, you've still got something you can do to kind of help the big picture.
So the trick is making sure. I mean, just I guess just like the era. So like, if you just want to be a merchant and run trade routes, you have to make sure you have partner up with privateers who can protect you.
Right.
And then just make sure you just follow the safe zones.
Right. I mean, there's going to be different lanes, and like where other nations will be able to. They can attack you. People from other nations can get into like big ship-to-ship combat scenarios with you. And from what I understand, like the ship-to-ship combats, like you'll be sailing through the ocean. There might be like a ship-to-ship combat going on, but there'll be like a marker in the ocean which indicates, hey, there's a ship-to-ship like instance going on, and you can like jump in and help people like from your side that are in this combat.
Now, is there more to the combat than just, like, what direction your cannons are facing and, like, what your cannon rating is? Or because, like, MMOs...
It's probably, like, incendiary.
It's like a die-rolling kind of thing?
Well, yeah, because, like, MMOs, like, a lot of what makes them complex is the fact that, like, you know, a tank's got this skill set and he's got a bunch of different skills to pick from, and then the DPSer has, like, these 10 skills.
I know there's some kind of skill tree that kind of vaguely reminded me of WoW, but I don't know.
They could, like, just make stuff up. Like, you have, like, the scurvy cannon, and you strike everyone with scurvy for 5 minutes.
Oh,
they can't
man
their cannons, or they can't man their speed, so they
But I've got vitamin C, so, hey.
Can we walk noobs off the plank? That's what I want to know.
I hope so.
Get your ass off the plank, noob. And then push him.
kick him from the server.
So, I'm hoping to get in on the closed beta of this game soon.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's turn this whole discussion into, that's actually a good idea, into us begging to be in on, like,
get us in on this beta, get us in on that beta.
Yeah, I want
to
play this game.
We promise to talk about your game on the next podcast if you get us in your beta.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
I'm excited for
that. Ryan, good job.
Nice pick, Ryan. Darren?
I know we've covered it in varying degrees, but I'm looking forward to Age of Conan.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yes.
So that looked good when they brought it in.
Yeah. When did they last bring it in? I mean,
Oh, gosh. Well, it's been a while now.
Last time I remember seeing it was around the time of the Vista launch.
I think that's right, yeah.
I think it looks really promising. I mean, besides the whole graphical flossiness, yeah, it's going to be using DX10 and whatever. Mm-hmm. I really like the idea of a game that it's kind of an MMO, but it's kind of not. I mean, like, I can go through a single-player RPG, which there aren't, quite frankly, enough of these days. And it seems to be like it's like an action RPG, and then... Once you hit level 20 or hit the end game, then you can take that hero in online.
Mm-hmm. Right, it actually is a single-player game first. Yeah,
which makes a lot of sense to me. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. you have these crappy tutorials that you don't give a rat's ass about, mm-hmm. and then you're stuck with a level crap character out in the world. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have all these cool powers and then just go out and do something as a true hero.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they're drawing pretty heavily from the Conan world. You know, well, not just the Schwarzenegger movie.
From what I've seen, it looks pretty damn grim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to get back and read those books. I don't know if they're still in print or if you got to get them from used bookstores.
I don't know.
The original series.
You know what I would recommend?
Hmm.
The current Dark Horse comic.
Oh, yeah?
Is very good.
Oh, they're really? They're redoing Conan?
I read the first couple of
They've been
of
doing it. It's up past the mid-20s now. I've been doing it for a while.
Is it just a comic bookization of the original novels? Or?
There are some kind of new story threads in there, but mostly they're adapted from...
Okay, it's a non-superhero comic? I'll take a look
at it. They were, for a time, written by Kurt Busiek.
He's
awesome.
Right.
Cool.
But good books, if you like Conan.
So, Darren, are you in on the beta for Age of Conan?
I don't think it's actually gone up yet.
Okay. We got to get you on that.
Yeah, I think we all have to get in on that one.
Yeah.
No, yeah, actually, I have asked. Yeah. I have asked, and I am looking for, like, once I can actually talk about it, I will. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen past couple times, it looks really cool.
I actually want to throw in, since you mentioned that, it reminded me, other than my boring expansion pick, Warhammer Online is the other one I'm looking forward to. I like the Warhammer universe, though, so.
Yeah, it's weird because it's got the whole chicken and egg, you know, who did it first, Warcraft or Warhammer scenario.
Yeah, but only Warhammer has the cockney-sounding orcs, so.
Yeah, the soccer hooligan orcs, that's, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's all. Are you into PvP? Because that's kind of what the game is. Like, the realm versus
I am, as long as
like
I'm
the
one doing the killing.
Well, in that case, you might not have a great time.
Sean Elliott, you're up.
I don't really have much to say because all the games, there's so many games that I'm really looking forward to, but they're
that's all
true. The ones that you like are on your ban list.
They're not. We didn't say what the ban list is. I left that.
Yeah, but well, I thought that the stuff that we always we haven't really talked. You know, I think it would be wrong to say that we always talk about these games because on our podcast we don't.
Well, maybe we don't. Yeah. So go for it.
I don't know. I have to just pick one. It's a toss up. You know, there's like
pull the trigger, man. Come on.
Stuff I've seen and played recently: Crysis, Quake Wars,
mm-hmm.
Half Life 2.
Ah, come on, dude. What?
Team Fortress 2.
Yep.
BioShock.
Yep.
Yeah, way to pick one.
That is
way
that
to
is,
take
one,
a stand.
That is one hell of a game, man. That is like the best fucking game on the planet.
Alan Wake. Yeah, like all like the stuff basically game. That we Hellgate, had in our like, yeah. You know, top 10 of 2007 stuff.
Quake Wars has kind of slipped off the radar here.
Because it's been getting pushed back, I guess people have just been kind of like, we're just waiting at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely going to like,
awesome.
It needs to come out sooner. You know, visually, it's not going to be the quite as amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
anymore.
Didn't we play this like two E3s ago? Or am I making
yeah,
that
I think so.
No, we didn't play it two E3s
was
ago.
Was it
the
last E3?
Well, I know
saw the first
I know, we definitely played
E3s
it the last
ago.
E3. I'm not sure about the one before.
Right.
Maybe it just
but it's still
like
it's still a great
ago.
Looking game. But the reason I'm looking forward to that and Crysis so much are like I just that's just my you know use a dumb cliche for lack of a better option right now. This is my bread and butter and like I love to play. Ideally, I'll be playing like a great PC game like every single night, and that just has the potential to be that kind of game. And Battlefield 2 is that one for me, and it's kind of I've kind of been like you know just like wandering looking for stuff since. It took me a year and a half before I got tired on that. And actually, with this new computer, the first thing I did, got all my boosters again and patched that up and was going to mm-hmm. play. But my TeamSpeak was, like, making such horrendous noise, no one would play with me. And it's like, I only want to play that when I got a group of friends.
Hey, I meant to ask.
But Quake Wars and stuff has got the potential to be that game where it's like there's just so much to get out of, like, you know, mastery in it and, you know, subtle tactics and the different vehicles, the different units, comboing mm-hmm. the different, you know, class attributes and stuff. And just the fun of like just playing it over and over again, not having it get old, you know. Mm-hmm. And on the multiplayer front, Crysis is the same, has the same potential with the vehicle stuff, which you know I've only played multiplayer without those. And that's fun on its own. It's like I really you know once you start throwing the vehicles and the if they implement the economy system and the power struggle mode in the way that they promised. I mean, like some of the examples, like we actually did talk about this on the 1UP show a few weeks ago. But they edited it out. My favorite part. I was talking about how, well, for some reason, you were saying.
Guess you're not getting the fourth chair, man.
You didn't hear Milky's music coming through your office. So I was joking about like how it's like that's what I call tech. No, don't techno for an answer volume.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I was saying how like you and him are going to be doing the Hazard County jump in a Jeep over a bridge, but then like I'll hit you with the ice beam, and then you'll just like fall straight down and not complete the jump and shatter and stuff. But it's all that kind of possibility for just. And, you know, punching the crap out of people's vehicles. And, mm-hmm. I mean, if there's anything like the ability to wing walk and stuff, I mean, that stuff's just so much fun, just messing around with those engines and seeing what you could do. You know, like, again, to turn it back to Halo, like, everyone's so excited because there's a video from the Halo 3 beta of someone basically launching a vehicle across the map and it lands in another, you know, it was a total feat. I'm sure it took them a ton of times to do it, and it basically lands in a hole in another team's base, but it just reminded me of, like, there's just so much potential for just insanity and, like, really, really mind-boggling stunts in that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the single player. I'm looking for, like, the great savior for single player shooter. Not savior. It doesn't need a saving, but, like, but it's the next great thing. And is that going to be BioShock? Is it going to be Half-Life 2 Episode 2?
Right.
Is Crysis going to be it?
Could be all of them.
I know. I hope it is.
Yeah.
My money's on BioShock.
Yeah, I hope so.
Me too.
Malloy?
Good segue to me, because I won't say BioShock, because that's kind of...
But you could.
I could. No, I'll avoid the, I guess we called it low-hanging fruit of that and, like, Spore.
Mm-hmm. It's like, duh. Of course, yeah. It's going to be great.
I'll pick a Dark Horse candidate. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to Sins of a Solar Empire.
Ah.
That's right. The darkest of Dark Horses around,
good,
huh?
Good pick.
Yeah. It's a... I think they're billing it as a real-time 4X strategy game.
Right.
So, that's like your... Gal Civ 2.
What? Go on, sorry. Gal I just remember, like, oh, a Dark Horse game. I had one, but never mind.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
We'll come back. So it's kind of like Gal Civ 2 versus, I mean, meets
it's like
Homeworld.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of. Yeah. Hmm. So it sounds like it could be incredibly overly complicated, mm-hmm. but I don't know, from what I've heard them say, it sounds like they're on the right track to make it not incredibly crazy overcomplicated.
Right. It's being published by Stardock, but who
not developing
Gal Civ
it.
Too, but the developer is...
Ironclad, I think is their name?
I think that's right, yeah.
But yeah, it's the first non-Stardock game Stardock is publishing.
That's correct.
Does that make sense?
And it has a great name.
It does have a great
Sins
name.
Sins of a Solar Empire sounds like great pulp sci-fi.
Yeah, as someone who is a science fiction / fantasy literature fan,
yeah.
I approve of that name.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
but not someone who does fan fiction where they involve themselves.
Well, maybe if this game is good enough, I will write stories about it. Publish it
in this
internet.
Universe with you in it?
Yes. No, I won't go that
in
far.
In an ocelot outfit?
Privateer Sean Malloy.
So there Sean. I was in my ocelot outfit.
There was one column in the Geek Hierarchy I didn't read. That's why I just handed it to you now.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole other column.
Because you're now
hierarchy.
At the right time.
We got Heinlein fans at the top there.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And beneath that, Piers Anthony fans. Yes. It's my life. People who read books based on science fiction TV shows.
Oh,
have I ever read any of those?
No.
I've fondled Battlestar Galactica books.
I think a long
store.
Time
oh,
ago.
Oh, shit.
I haven't bought
have
them.
Them.
Yeah, they
yeah.
have them.
Oh, yeah.
But
you actually came
I
in
looked.
Contact?
I touched.
Oh, God.
I didn't, but I didn't take it to the cat register.
That's to think
was it,
to think it is to commit the sin. You already sinned in your mind. You might as well have bought the thing and read it.
I will admit to having started to read a Star Trek The Next Generation novel.
Oh. Oh, dude.
And let's move on.
I like her all. I just go, oh,
Geordi
God,
LaForge removed the banana clip that was spray painted silver from his face.
Darren's got a Command & Conquer novel sitting right here on the
milky
table.
Eyes.
He does. Oh, yes, yeah. I do.
And there's even like bookmark.
Oh, I have this. Oh, I have this thing. I have this thing dog-eared for later.
Yeah, for later. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And beneath that, and this is right above furries, okay. People who refer to a group of TV show-based books as, quote, my collection, unquote.
What does that mean? I didn't get that. That's
like
why I didn't read
Wars,
that column.
Like as your only collection, as your library consists
oh.
of just that.
Right. You don't just have, like, a couple, you know, Star Trek The Next Generation books.
You have the whole
You've got
line.
A collection of it.
Yeah, he has that, yeah, you don't exactly
have
that.
They have season 4 of the novels.
I wish I hadn't read that.
You don't properly understand the TV show unless you read all the books.
You know, I was reading, there was a thread on Quarter to Three that was about Heroes, which is now, you know, gone for the season. But there were guys arguing that if you're not reading the webcomics every week, you're not really watching the show the way you were supposed to. And someone said, you know, like, welcome to 2007. This is how we watch our entertainment now on multiple fronts. If you just want to watch part of it, well, enjoy 1997. It's like, sorry, I'm just committing to the show.
Have you finished watching season one? Did you finish?
I did finish season one.
Finally.
Say the same. Why don't you respond with the equivalent in gaming, you know? Like, you haven't played Command & Conquer until you read the novel Darren's holding.
That's right.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to. I've actually loaded one or two of those Heroes webcomics, and they're pretty good. They're all right. But I'm not going to make
not
that
like
part
essential.
Of my weekly.
Is it stills of the actors, or
no,
is it an illustrator?
No, it's actually an illustrator.
Who's the artist?
Tim Sale.
Right? God, the guy's like a second-rate
I will
Frank
argue
Miller
that
with
Tim Sale is awesome.
Mongoloid.
Oh, here we
can't
go.
Wait to check the chart,
the
quick.
Extended DVD. Oh, yeah, where are these two guys on the chart now?
Yeah.
Arguing over
Tim
comic book artists.
Sucks.
Oh,
the fact that you know who Tim Sales is.
There's so many, like, classic, like, you could take any given, like, one of his drawings and look at the face, and it looks, like, just completely mangled, messed up.
Yeah, but do they all
like, that's breasts? Below, that's below the breast thing. Like, can't even draw, like, a face that doesn't look like it has Down syndrome.
His art style is, it's very stylized, but it's good.
That wasn't PC, but that's not getting
yeah, no, it wasn't. Good.
Oh, wow, I...
Okay.
It's not even on the list. Well,
I don't know where we're at here now.
So let's go back to well, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Sins of a Solar Empire.
It's all, I'm excited to play it.
Okay. That's all that's left. Okay.
What was your little dark horse?
You said you had a dark horse?
Oh, yeah.
Are you done? I don't want to cut you off.
That's fine. I don't even know what I was going to say anymore.
Tell me about that game.
It's a...
All right, no.
I'm so derailed.
It escaped me at the moment because I mean, because of course there are a lot of smaller games that like I am you know anticipating, but I'm like that really are moving me to talk right now. But of course, Oleg Maddox and you know Maddox Games is Battle of Britain, Storm of War, Battle of Britain that's coming out. I've seen it's so funny because they basically moved now. Ubisoft is no longer publishing their game, and they had some weird stuff with promoting. Which was interesting because when we just did in the magazine, we'll talk about it just like very quickly. We did a story on them in the magazine. It was hard because at some point, someone from Ubisoft contacted us and was like, "Hey, why are you talking to him or something? Or we hear he gave you assets for his next game. You can't run those. We're not promoting the game at this time." And I was like, "Oh, well, that's fine. I'm not promoting the game. I'm talking about the writer's talking about this guy's career, his life, and his general attitude toward the genre of game that he had decided to specialize in." But it was really interesting, and Oleg was like, "I was wondering, like, it seems like that's not. I mean, how are you promoting the game in general? Like, the dude himself gave us some pictures from something he's working on, you know. But anyway, long story short, whatever the case." He ends up promoting the game most through some of his staffers that post on Something Awful forums and show new screenshots and stuff of works in progress. And the stuff just looks great. Not only can, you know, you trust them to have, you know, just the first rate, you know, combat engine for, you know, for their aircraft and stuff. But, like, they're modeling everything down to, like, in the interior of, you know, the planes. Like, I mean, every... substantial thing from like you know self-sealing fuel tanks to but just like you know cables and wires and the material properties of all the intervening layers and modeling like the damage to each one of those things and then translating that back into you know your ability to fly the plane and stuff. So before you're like, "Hey, I got a rudder like jammed or something," and it would model that, but now it's like modeling. I mean, they're saying it's modeling like the difference of like if you're missing 20 pounds of crap on one side of the plane, or if like one very specific cable was cut by a round or something, you know, which is like super geek like flights and stuff, and ultimately it translates into you being able. I mean, flying like piss poor because you got shot or something.
Yeah,
but it's great too.
That,
but it makes it matter that if you're dogfighting, you even get like two rounds through someone, there's a chance that it might. Means something that's going to give you the advantage in the rest of the fight or something, but you know the ground stuff looks great and it's just like I mean those guys don't even need to prove themselves. It's like basically take Isle 2 and now just like focus on a really extreme simulation of the Battle of Britain and give us you know an even you know more thorough simulation of it that looks even better. I'm sold.
Is there magic this time?
There's magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do magic if you want.
Okay, then I'm sold too. I need magic.
That's right. You got dragons play in the game too.
Yeah. I need to throw fireballs out the side window of the plane. Then I'm in.
You have the edge, or like, what was that game I was talking about? NAMM 1975. You need to have the engines shoot like heat-seeking fireballs at you.
Yeah, or big mushrooms.
Yeah, I'm there too then.
All right.
Is that it?
Do we need some bonus material? Bonus material.
No,
well, Darren's got the
dramatic readings
fondling the Command and Conquer book. What's the name of that book, Darren?
It's Command and Conquer: Tiberium Wars by Keith R. A. DeCandido.
Okay.
Okay.
Because he's yeah.
Did that just show up randomly?
You know, it showed up randomly like four. I've got four copies of the book now. I'm like,
wow.
So is this a novelization of the story of the game, or is
it a novelization
another
of the world
aspect?
Hey, right. I'd like to point out that the cover of the novel
is
the same cover that we used on issue 2 of our magazine.
Actually, it's like we commissioned the artist to do this.
Oh, and then they used it for their book?
Yeah, nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Lawsuit coming.
We didn't commission
That's not true.
No, we didn't.
No,
we paid anyone for
no,
that.
No, no. It's a little more complicated.
Alex,
we
anyway.
Told him that we'd like an image that along.
No, I think. No, I thought MJ
no,
had like his.
They gave us the illustration.
Oh,
and
is
then
that
we
it?
Had a 3D renderer.
Oh,
a 3D
wow.
rendered
oh, okay.
version for our cover.
Oh, crazy. I didn't even know that.
Or something like that. Anyway.
So let's sue him anyway.
So that's the illustration.
And that's the illustration. Okay, so.
All right, all right. It looked.
So wait, does this taste like concurrently with the game, after the game?
I would actually assume I read the book.
Oh.
But I come on.
I need to know where in the timeline this falls.
Well, you know what? I can read off a choice bit, but I might need your guys' help on this one.
Okay.
The sergeant was leading the soldiers in a chant. I don't know, but I've been told. Yeah, okay, never mind.
Wait. So you want us to do that?
No, you don't have to.
I don't know,
no,
but I've been told.
I'm going to spare you that.
Okay.
I'll just read it. All 19 soldiers replied in perfect unison. I don't know, but I've been told. And I'll just keep going. Noddies, they ain't got no soul. Tyrock, that's what they crave. But from us, they will not be saved.
Oh, wow. Shit.
So imagine wow. Tyrock that type self in your head.
You know wow. what? I'd almost prefer a book with, like, and he draws a box around the screen and hotkeys command attack group one.
That'd be great. a book of a guy playing an RTS.
The play-by-play. Yeah.
Dude, Jeff, how many drugs do you smoke, dude? We had that exact same conversation.
We totally did. We totally did.
When?
It was a couple weeks
ago. By the
ago.
Way, listeners, Jeff does not really smoke
I do
drugs.
Not.
But so to
I've
speak.
Been straight
no,
since
we had
Friday.
That same thing. And that same week, Penny Arcade put out a comic that was more or less the same
that's
thing.
True.
And everyone
you're
was
right.
like.
Everyone's making the same joke at the same
and
time.
And everyone's like, that joke's so played out.
You're right.
Yeah. Let me see.
You're reading the end.
Should I skip
spoilers.
To the end? Do I ruin it for you?
Yeah, yes. Do it. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Spoiler warning. If you're at home and you're listening to this podcast and you've got the Command & Conquer novel and you don't want to know what happens at
press
the end.
Mute.
Yeah, press mute right now because Darren's reading the end.
In the short term, he knew that sacrifices would be made. And all those who followed Kane knew that death was a distinct possibility, though he supposed that they all expected to die fighting GDI, not the here foretold unheard of aliens. Their souls, however, were in good hands, for they had died in the service of Nod and of Tiberium. Ultimately, that was all that mattered to them and to Kane.
Yeah, they died in the service of dirt farming. Way to go, champs.
Not the end.
There's a lot of rich backstory leading up to that.
Not the end at the end.
Wait, wait.
Ryan threw the book across the room. It's the most violent I've ever seen him, except with the candy machine. Yeah. Wait, go get that book. I wanted to point something out there.
That's a story we're telling. We have this candy machine, the snack machine
yeah.
on the floor. And you always know it's Ryan at it because you just, like, the whole floor
the
starts
whole floor
shaking.
Shakes because he's pounding the thing trying to get his, what do you buy out of there?
Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, what is it that you're buying that makes you so angry when it doesn't come out, Ryan? Oh, Ryan has his headset.
Oh,
right.
No.
And now we're all going to get deaf.
Yeah, that's a little known 1UP.com fact is that we have a candy machine that quite often refuses to dispense with its candy.
About 1 in 3 times.
Yeah, after you put your money in.
Or any.
And anything. So you hear people cursing and yelling. But Ryan, one of the smaller guys on staff, just no offense.
If the candy machine guy's listening, I hate you.
Yeah, he actually pounds this machine like no other.
And I get my goddamn candy out.
Yeah, I guess you do, don't you? And you're also the author of those angry notes that show up on the thing, right?
I am.
The post-it notes
fix
all over the thing.
Machine. Dear Candy Guy.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I guess when Ryan isn't around, I usually hear somebody else like in futility trying to like get the stuff out, and I walk over, and I got it down to a science now. I give it a couple good shakes, and I get like 3 extra pieces of candy as a result.
Well, I can't sweet tip it candy. Over, though. I'm not – I can't.
Well, that's why everyone else is fucked, because you're getting extras, and then when the little like screw turns on their turn, it pushes it about halfway out, but not quite enough to fall down.
Then they call on me again. it's a blessing and a curse.
I was just gonna in that conclusion you read. I was just gonna say not that I'm a creative writing teacher or whatever, but I've done my share of writing over the years. And I was thinking as you read that when you're writing your conclusion to your book, you probably don't want to use phrases like heretofore unheard of.
why
the heretofore unheard of aliens.
Whilst?
Doesn't really roll off the tongue as you're trying to wind up your novel.
The heretofore unheard of aliens.
In the year of our Lord.
The Nodite dirt farmers knew that their sacrifice was not in vain, for they had provided The players of the Nod side of the game with an additional barracks. Chunks of Tiberia.
Here it is, right in here, in the historian's note, Darren. Historian's note. This novel takes place simultaneously with the game Command & Conquer Tiberium Wars.
Yes.
See, that's that whole multimedia thing we were just talking about. So you have to read... If you actually read the book while playing the game...
I like that historians know that there is a game, too.
Yeah, historian's note. That's
you
nice.
Need to point that in, dude. I know. I'm just you never watched American Idol until you texted in your own decision.
All right.
So, yeah, I have multiple copies of this book, and I so want to get rid of them. So I'm going to give each of you guys one after the podcast.
No.
Yeah, you
no.
You could throw your own.
Dude, we got to do the right thing with it. Put them all in a box.
Hey, this guy is at the top of the hierarchy, by the way.
Oh, my God.
What?
Bringing it full circle. You're right.
Wait, how is that?
The author of Command & Conquer, Tiberium Wars, at the top. That means above us.
Yeah.
Video game writers.
We need to put them all in a box.
He's a published sci-fi writer.
And tell him to go to the
all right.
Comics. Manga. Figures.
So are we going to give these books away?
You know what? We have to just come up with a good excuse for why to give them away, and yeah, why not?
Because we don't want them.
Okay, I would like to make them part of my collection.
If you would like the Command & Conquer Tiberium Wars
book
to be
this.
Part
Hold
of
on.
Your collection.
He dedicates this to all the folks at the Palumbo Bakery.
They know why.
Why?
Oh,
he's making the brownies.
Special bakery.
Yeah.
Special
place. Yeah. I see how it is.
At the medicinal bakery.
Uh-huh. Put some Tiberium in there. Some Tyrock.
Tyrock.
He's having that with his ninja
gold. It's
just
another euphemism for the green.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's just leave.
Hold on.
Are we giving away these Command & Conquer books or what?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Okay. We're going to come up with a contest, and we're going to give away four.
I think I have three or four. I have to double
three
check.
Three or four Command & Conquer Tiberium Wars books. You know you want it.
Oh.
You can taste it.
Please, I want them off my desk.
What are we giving these away for?
Because for someone who really hates themselves.
No, but how do they win it?
We'll have to figure that out now. I mean,
write your own paragraph of Command & Conquer fanfic.
That's it. That's good shit right
okay.
there. Best Command & Conquer fanfic
best
wins.
Best Command & Conquer fanfic. The best three.
Oh! And the last thing, I forgot. Shit, I was going to do it at the beginning.
Okay.
A few shout-outs. So we got, if you can shout out who you want, but I have a few people that need attention. So we got Ben Loggins in the Dun Scout in, like, Santa Monica. You know
what's this?
Evan Shamoon and Miguel Lopez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's friends with them, and I guess he's always telling them to check our podcast out and stuff. And he's like, and they always tell me. So I'm like, hey, we got to give Dun Scout a shout.
Okay.
And then we've got... The Joystick Podcast Rodeo, which has given us, you know, attention on quite a few accounts.
At least three.
So
really? Thanks, fellas.
We love them for that.
Okay.
And then also, we owe one from way back when to Ryan Payton at the Kojima Podcast.
Uh-huh.
For the same thing.
Oh, yeah, totally. I could have sworn we brought that up before, though, didn't
he? He told people that we were worth listening to when we're talking about how Tim Sale draws mongoloid-looking faces. And that's the shout-outs for today.
I got a shout-out to the author of Under the Grandstand by Seymour Butts. I'm sorry.
Way to keep it highbrow.
Silence.
What?
Seymour Butts, come on.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're not at the fucking Academy Awards now. Like, you got nothing to say. You don't got to stand there.
Actually, I'm going to give a shout-out.
Aunt
what the
Fanny?
Hell?
Quick. How about Yellow River by I.P. Freely? That
Let's roll this because we got a surprise.
All right, forget it.
All right, what, Darren?
Okay, no, it's just a quickie. Futurepinball.com because I'm a pinball freak and I've been wanting to play some free pinball games lately. And these guys, basically, you can create new tables, or a lot of people are already making their own. So just go over there, check it out. Totally free. Works in Vista and XP.
All right,
check
it.
Pipping, producing, writing, pinball making. Pick it up. Pick up. Pick up. Pick up. Pick up. Pick up.
Mad Silver Ball.
All right, now I got to shout out to Sean Malloy for hitting the stop button.
And the Lakewood Junior High Thespian Players are proud to give the stage to Cornelius Sniffelstein for a poetic reading.
Battle rap is granny naps, dap happens. On CS chat channels, snot nose and damp napkins. Blow it, blew you away, sit and spec a bit. Observe as I serve friendly flashbangs for the fuck of it. I'm a freak with the fever for the flavor of a fight on a mouse. Speak geek and tweak speakers at grandmother's house. A weak squeak turn tough, try and watch your mouth. Oh shit, quit quick, here she comes, and I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.1UP.com.